Hey, you guys, welcome to the Revolving Door radio program. This is Natalina. And first of all, I have to say, apologize in advance for my voice today. I'm not feeling very well. I don't know if it's allergies or if I'm getting a cold or what it is, but my voice is kind of going in and out. But it hasn't stopped me from being super pumped to be hosting this week's episode of the Revolving Door radio program. What a cool project to be part of. Thank you so much to Bruce Collins for thinking of me and inviting me to be part of this amazing shindig. Listen, if you don't know who I am, I'm Natalina, and I am the founder of extraordinaryintelligence.com and also the hostess with the mostess at Beyond Extraordinary Radio. Little bit of background. Beyond Extraordinary Radio was started a couple of years ago, but extraordinaryintelligence.com was started years and years ago. I used to have a very occult and new age sort of worldview. And that was the approach that I took to everything that I wrote about on Extraordinary Intelligence. I talked about everything from, you know, paranormal, new age, occult, cryptozoology, conspiracy theories, you know, all of that kind of stuff, alternative news. But about 6 or so years ago, I had a really life-changing experience. And really, it's the most transformative thing that a person could go through, and it's the most meaningful thing that had ever happened in my life up to that point and ever will happen in my life. And that is that I found and gave my life, my heart, my everything to Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, with such a massive paradigm shift, I was faced with a choice whether or not I shut my whole Extraordinary Intelligence operation down, or if I wanted to keep going, but change my perspective. And that's what I ended up doing. In fact, I felt a responsibility to do so. At the time, I had a huge audience built in over the years that I had been writing on Extraordinary Intelligence. And not only did I feel responsible, but I actually felt called to keep going with it. And it gave me this sort of unique platform to take this audience that I already had and start talking to them again about the same types of things that I had been talking to them about, but changing the perspective and starting to kind of explore these same types of things through a biblical lens. And that is what we've been doing ever since over at EI. And as I said, then I launched the Beyond Extraordinary radio program, and that has really become my passion. That has really taken my heart, and it feels like such a calling. It feels like I am now doing what I was always meant to do with that show. And if you want to check it out, go over to extraordinaryintelligence.com. You'll be able to access the archives of all of my past shows. You'll be able to access all of my blog posts that I've written, thousands of them, so you won't run out of reading material for a long, long time. But extraordinaryintelligence.com, the links to everything, all of the places you can find me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, all of that, it's all there. I try to be pretty upbeat. I try to just be myself and let my weird, quirky personality take over. But I definitely do tackle some very serious topics. And we are going to be discussing something very serious tonight. But before we get into that, I want to talk to you a little bit more about the Revolving Door radio program. Last week was the debut episode of this cool new show. And last week's episode was hosted by Bruce Collins and Chad Miles. Couple of the coolest, funniest guys you'll ever encounter. Bruce Collins, of course, of the Bruce Collins Show. This whole program has been his sort of his baby, his brainchild. And like I said, I'm so, so excited that he asked me to be part of it. What we're doing is we're actually having a rotating cast of hosts on this show. Each week, someone else will be hosting it. There's four sets of hosts, as I mentioned, Bruce Collins and Chad Miles. Then we also have me. Ta-da! I just told you who I am. Then we have Johnny Iron of The Iron Show. If you don't know about The Iron Show, you're missing out. He airs on Thursday nights live at the Fringe Radio Network. Johnny Iron, what's up? He's an amazing, cool, kooky, weird wild man, but he's also very sincere. He's got a lovely heart, and he talks about some really deep theological stuff over on his show. You'll definitely want to check him out. And then last but not least, oh, and Johnny will be hosting this program next week, Friday. And then last but not least, we have my homeboys, Basil and Gons of Canary Cry Radio. Those guys are so funny. They're very irreverent. They have a very unique approach, a very singular dynamic that really works between the two of them. Even along with their sort of humorous and funny banter that they have, they really do take on some very serious topics, and they both have such a strong passion for spreading the gospel, especially to people in sort of the fringe alternative community. Really, really special program that those guys have. And so all of us are really excited to be part of this. And we hope that you enjoy that what we're doing. We're all Christians. We all have a biblical worldview, but we also all have very different, we all have a very different approach. We all have a very different style. And so I think that's what's going to make this very unique. We have different perspectives, different outlooks on various topics. So from one week to the next, as we rotate through our various hosts on a monthly basis and on a weekly basis, I think you're going to find that it is true that Christians, although we share a common faith, we are not so easily compartmentalized. So if you enjoy listening to the Revolving Door radio program and you're excited about what we're doing, would love for you to talk about it on social media. Go to Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Pinterest, I don't know, whatever, wherever you spend the most of your social media time and interact with your online friends. Tell them about the Revolving Door radio program. Tell them that they can listen on Friday nights on IPBN. And speaking of which, I have to give a special shout out to Rocky Stucci, who I have really enjoyed getting to know. Rocky has his own show, actually, the EBN Special Report, over at IPBN, and he's the guy, he's like kind of the grand poobah behind the scenes of this show, and he's making all the magic happen. So Rocky, he's a cool guy. He has a really great show. I've listened to a few episodes. He's the real deal. You'll find the Revolving Door radio program and Rocky's show and all kinds of other stuff at IPBN Alternative Talk Radio, which you can access at intrepidparadigm.com. That's IPBN FM. Okay, so now we got all the business out of the way. As I said, tonight's show is actually going to be kind of sort of serious. And there's a reason for that. As you know, this is airing on the anniversary of the tragic events that happened on September 11th, 2001 in New York City and at the Pentagon. And all it really is was a tragedy all around the world, especially if you take into consideration the resulting wars and the millions of Iraqis that lost their lives and the millions of people in the Middle East who lost their lives, who had nothing to do with what happened on September 11th. And rather than talking about the conspiracy theories, which I consider to have a lot of validity, rather than talking about that, though, because I think a lot of other people are talking about it, a lot of people very informed on this issue today, I want to talk about sort of what, you know, what now? What can we do now, this many years on? And in the world in which we live, you know, I remember, of course we all do, I remember where I was on September 11th, 2001. At the time, I was employed by Amazon.com, and I was in a conference room, and I had a computer in front of me, and I was doing some independent research, and someone came running into the room and announced that something crazy had happened. And it was so much confusion, this person didn't even know exactly what happened. I believe he said that a bomb went off at the White House. So all of us who were in the conference room, we all just went to our news source of choice and decided to see if we could figure out what was going on. And I remember just being in disbelief, thinking, this can't be real. This really cannot be happening. And then so they dismissed all of us. They told everybody that they could leave work early and go home. And and figure it all out. And so I did. And I remember just watching the news in horror and speaking to my little brother that day. And both of us just thinking, you know, what happens now? You know, there was so much talk instantly on the news about, you know, is this the beginning of something more? Is this going to be an ongoing series of events? Has war been declared on our soil? And it was a scary time. Now, much of what was feared at that time has not come to fruition insofar as things happening on American soil. However, the worldwide impact on September 11th has been dramatic. It has been brutal. But beyond the physical life toll, there's also been a dramatic shift in just our laws and the way that we have, you know, this burgeoning, not even burgeoning, it's here, this surveillance state, to such an extent that Orwell would roll over in his grave. But maybe he wouldn't, because he really did sort of predict exactly what was happening, what was going to happen in our society. So all of that said, what I want to do is I want to talk to you about what now. What can we do now? How should we feel now in the wake of not only that disaster, but just the world in which we live? You know, September is National Preparedness Month. And I was perusing the archives of Extraordinary Intelligence, and I noticed that I used to talk about prepping a lot. But since becoming a Christian, I guess the topic hadn't been weighing quite so heavily on my mind. And it's not because I'm anti-prepping. It's just that I had other things that I felt more pressed to discuss. With that said, as we enter what I'm calling Preptember, I want to reflect a little bit on the act of prepping itself and how it fits into a Christian a Christian worldview. Opinions are all over the map, and it's really difficult to know how to feel. Of course, there's extremes. One extreme says that any level of prepping is a sin because it exposes a lack of faith in God to provide for us in the event of a catastrophe. The other extreme falls into the major, major survivalist camp, who believe that it's a Christian's duty to be stocked to the gills and armed to the teeth and be just, you know, utterly fortified against any and all emergencies. And, you know, not all of us, although I love the idea of being super prepped out like that, but not all of us can get to that level. We don't have the resources. We don't have the means. So is there a middle ground? Is there a safe and prudent level of prepping, which is not only acceptable in God's eyes, but also doesn't require us living inside of a razor wire compound? And I say, yeah, there really is. But I want to look at, you know, there's many instances in Scripture where the Lord urges people to be prepared for coming hardship or calamity. The easiest and most obvious example is Noah, who prepped by building an ark according to God's specifications to shield his family along with a literal boatload of animals from the coming deluge. In Genesis 41, we learn about Joseph, who interprets Pharaoh's dream to indicate that 7 years of surplus, which would be followed by 7 years of drought, were coming. Pharaoh promotes Joseph to the station of regent of Egypt, and Joseph uses the 7 years of bounty to prep for the coming time of hardship. Genesis 41, verse 48 through 49 says, "So he gathered all the food of these 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt and placed the food in the cities. He placed in every city the food from its own surrounding fields. Thus Joseph stored up grain in great abundance like the sand of the sea until he stopped measuring it, for it was beyond measure." Now, as a result of Joseph's efforts, Egypt and the Israelites were spared from a certain famine and certain death. Genesis 41, 53 through 54 says, "When the 7 years of plenty which had been in the land of Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said, there was famine in all the lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread." In these stories, clear warnings were delivered by God of an impending disaster, and prepping for the disaster was not a lack of faith, but rather it showed pure faith in that the warnings were heeded and the people were spared. So how does this apply to us today? Some might be quick to indicate that our situation is different because we have no specific prophetic warning of impending catastrophe, but I would strongly disagree with that. Now, putting aside all of the modern claims and prophetic utterings and prophetic words that people have been receiving, strictly according to Scripture, we have been duly warned that a time is coming of great strife. It matters really not what your view of rapture timing is or isn't, because many of these things are foretold to occur as warning beacons of the last days. So we're never guaranteed to be spared from any and all hardship. Quite the opposite, actually. We're told to be watchful of wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places and more. Even those who espouse a pre-tribulation view should acknowledge that while this view holds that Christians will be spared from the tribulation, it never says they'll be spared from any and all tribulation, right? Right. So, therefore, I believe that we have indeed been given prophetic warning of a coming time of trial. And because we believe what the word says, it can easily be an act of faith. Okay, to prepare for that time. Like Joseph, we can take measures now to be ready for what happens later. So it's important to note here that I do not advocate going into debt in preparation for a time of trouble, nor do I believe that we should be consumed with fearful thoughts of looming doom. I sincerely believe that God is faithful to protect those who rely on Him. But I also believe that if you are able to take some precautions, it's both prudent and right to do so. Is it not conceivable that part of the protection that God promises to us is that He supplies to those of us who believe warnings in advance so that we can make preparation while the rest of the world scoffs? Preparedness isn't always, you know, doesn't always mean doomsday bunker prepping or what have you. Prepping is just a smart thing for any type of emergency. Look around you. Look at the world in which we live right now. People are being kidnapped and beheaded in the Middle East for their beliefs. Ask the Israelis if they think it's a bad idea to prep. They have bunkers built into their homes and emergency evacuation plans as a standard, not an exception. Earthquakes and volcanoes and extreme weather patterns are constantly rumbling across the globe. You know, my goodness, look at what happened in Ferguson and these different riots throughout the United States. What if you lived in an area where riots were breaking out and your local grocery store was being looted? Wouldn't you be grateful to have supplies on hand to sustain your family, keeping you from having to go into harm's way during that strife? You see what I mean? Okay, Natalina, I get it. I should be prepared. So what should I do? Well, I'm glad you asked. In honor of Preptember, and because I believe that part of being vigilant includes being prepared, I have compiled a very basic list of things that most everyone can do, whether you are on an extreme budget or you live in a tiny little apartment. Most of us in the world are in that situation, right? So I've compiled a list of stuff that you can pick up at the dollar store. So you take a $20 bill on payday and you go walk to the Dollar Tree or to your local dollar store, you can walk out with everything on this list and be a little bit more prepared than you were yesterday. Okay. So item number one on the list, if you remember in Samuel Taylor Coleridge's classic epic poem, Rime of the Ancient Mariner, he laments, "Water, water everywhere, nor any drop to drink." Now, this could easily become a reality in the wake of a massive devastation. Let's think about, for example, Hurricane Katrina. People were literally surrounded by water, but it was undrinkable. Prepping yourself with enough water to last a few days might make all the difference, and it's not that expensive to make this happen. Go into the dollar store, my local Dollar Tree, and there's two of them in my town. You can buy 6 packs of spring water at the dollar store. Grab a few of those puppies, throw them in your closet. You've got water, okay? Now, number two, set aside some high carbohydrate, high protein food. Get a few boxes of protein bars, some cans of beans. Oh, and don't forget your can opener, which you can also get at the dollar store. And throw them in your closet next to your water, okay? 3. Now, this may sound trivial to some, and some may think that this is a dumb thing to put on the list, but for those of us who love our pets, it might not be a bad idea to get like a big container of pet food that can be sealed. Make sure it's something that has a lid on it that can be sealed and set it aside in case of emergency. You know, we love our critters. We want to make sure that we're prepped for them too. So 4, go to the dollar store and pick up a 10 pack of bandanas. These little babies could be a lifeline for you in emergency. Bandanas are a very overlooked, but I think very crucial part of anybody's, you know, bug out bag. Really, bandanas have an endless set of uses, from obvious things like a napkin, sweatband, dish rag, whatever, but also less obvious things like a tourniquet, a sling, a dust mask, a pot holder, or a signal. Get some bandanas. Now, 5, while you're at the dollar store, avail yourself of some really super cheap body wash or bars of soap. This might seem like a creature comfort, but if you're sheltered in place for a significant amount of time, hygiene is going to become essential. You know, diseases and bacteria and that type of thing can breed really, really quickly. So get some soap. You'll be glad you did, especially if it's during a really hot time and there's no electricity and stuff like that. So 6, flashlight and batteries. Again, dollar store, baby. You can get all of that right there at the dollar store. And 7, stock up on candles and those strike anywhere matches. They'll serve not only as a light source, but also a potential cooking and heating source. And if it happens to be super cold in that the time in which there's some sort of disaster, you can also, you know, you can just put your hands over it and just be warm. So, you know, that list is not definitive, but it's a good and easy start for any emergency situation. Our country has a primitive power grid, you guys. It's just, you know, our power grid. I interviewed F. Michael Maloof on my show last year, actually, and he is a Washington bureau chief of WorldNet Daily, and he's written a book about potentially an EMP attack on the United States. He spoke in detail about the weaknesses in our power grid and the very real threat of a lights out situation that our country would face. You can find that in the Extraordinary Intelligence Archives. But if the grid goes down, it'll be too late to venture out into the store to be supplied, you know, to get supplies. So it's really, really good to be prepared. Now, in my mind, probably the potential for a power grid disaster is the most likely scenario for in our nearish future. Of course, an EMP is something that can be triggered by a high altitude nuclear detonation, and that would effectively knock out our power grid, sending us back to the dark ages really, really quickly. If a nuke was detonated in the air over, like, let's say someplace on the East Coast, it would affect the entire Eastern Seaboard, and then that could trigger a cascading event that would go, you know, from one grid to the next until the entire U.S. was knocked out. Now think about how dependent we are on electricity. The moment the lights went out, everything would change. It is probably the single most important scenario to consider with regards to being prepared. And we know that most of the people who hate the United States have the capability of pulling off such an attack, whether it's on a small scale or a large scale. Lots of countries around the world are very fortified in their grids against an EMP. But unfortunately, as I learned from F. Michael Maloof, the United States is not. We have a very old and very vulnerable power grid. Last year in October, the Nat Geo channel did a show that was really, it was a premiere movie event. It was really, really intense. It was called American Blackout. And the show actually was done from the perspective of like a found footage film, you know, similar to like the Blair Witch Project or movies along those lines. And it was supposedly film that had been found from people's cell phones and stuff like that. And it endeavored to show what would happen in the very few, like 48 hours after an EMP attack, in that show, it was a cyber attack on the power grid, but the results would be the same. Here's the trailer.
This afternoon, millions of Americans are without power.
The sun's going down. It's going to get really dark, and we're going to have to light some candles.
Are you doing nothing too? Nobody's doing anything today because there's no power right now.
No power.
Nothing in here works.
There's no AC. Toilet doesn't work.
What are we supposed to do?
Where's everybody?
We're stuck.
We gotta get some water.
Wait your turn!
Daddy. When are you coming to pick us up?
Oh no.
The current blackout is the result of a cyber attack.
Why is nobody helping us?
American Blackout, a premier movie event, Sunday, October 27th at 9 on the National Geographic Channel.
Now, in a case like this, those who had just a basic set of rations in their own home would have been fine. Okay, because eventually the grid does go back up, but almost no one is prepared and it leads to widespread chaos. If you had just the basic things that I mentioned in that list earlier, you would have been able to ride out that storm and emerged unscathed, really. You know, make sure you have some water, make sure you have some food, don't forget your can opener. You know, it's really, really interesting. A lot of people have tons of canned goods stocked, but they forget to have a can opener on hand. Make sure you have that. But, you know, there's this thing called predictive programming. And there's a theory that the, you know, for those of us who are a little bit conspiracy minded, that the elites who may or may not be behind many of the disasters that have happened in the past, potentially could happen in the future, have a system where they have to warn us ahead of time before something happens. There's many theories as to why this is, but it's not a secret that popular culture and media has been loaded with references not only to potential disasters, but also to being prepared for said disasters. You may recall a couple of years ago, there was a campaign launched by the CDC about zombies, of all things. Now, of course, they were quick to claim that this was not meant to be a warning against actual real zombies, but it's the fact remains that it kind of freaked people out that suddenly one day the CDC had an entire page on their site dedicated to how to survive a zombie apocalypse.
I'm Jim Flink for AOL News Now. The Centers for Disease Control want Americans to prepare themselves for possibly the most dangerous situation imaginable, a zombie attack. That's right, zombies.
When we first heard about it, we didn't even think it was true, but here's what we found on the CDC's website. It gives you a history of zombies in pop culture, also shows you how to be prepared should the dead rise and come after you. The CDC says you should have an emergency kit with water, food, medications, and other supplies. Also plan several evacuation routes.
KPTV notes the CDC's social media effort is to spread the word about disasters like hurricanes and floods. It has nothing to do with the real zombies.
It's a tongue-in-cheek way to get people thinking about how to prepare for all kinds of disasters, including the non-fictional ones. Tips include stockpiling food and water and keeping a portable emergency kit. But the article admits that, well, none of it will really help you against actual zombies.
A CDC official says the zombie campaign is just one way to reach a young, media-savvy demographic. A spokesman who also has the unofficial title of head of the zombie task force says, "We never reach the social media audience with preparedness messages. I'll be honest with you. Preparedness and public health are not the sexiest topics. We thought maybe we'd try a different angle." And the zombies seem to be working. The blog post went up on Monday, got 30,000 views by Tuesday. According to the Washington Post, before this, they'd only seen 3,000 views a week. I'm Jim Flink for AOL News Now.
Children are not spared from being indoctrinated into the potential reality of a disaster. I came upon this clip that was a commercial featuring Sesame Street characters talking about how to pack a bug-out bag.
Hola, Grover, what are you doing?
Oh, I am making my emergency kit. I want to be prepared, just in case.
Oh, my friend Mia made a kit with her family. Everyone help! They packed flashlights and batteries, water, food, a radio, and put it where they could find it rapidamente, quickly.
Hmm, I guess I should take my canoe out of there, huh?
Look, Mulder.
Help your family get ready for an emergency. Learn more at ready.gov/sesame.
You know, a few years ago, I had a very brief stint as a blogger for the Huffington Post, and I wrote an article about the rise of the preppers, fear of catastrophe spawning a resourceful subculture. And it was written in 2012, and I wrote, not since 2000 has there been a year that's given rise to such a visceral reaction amongst doomsday prophets, end time enthusiasts, and apocalyptic panickers. And that was, of course, because the Mayan calendar was meant to expire that year, right? But it scared a lot of people. Even evangelical Christians started to believe that there were signs in the heavens and earth at that time that were warning of the impending return of Christ on September, or actually it was December of 2012. People everywhere were taking note of our precarious geopolitical climate, increasingly erratic weather patterns. But, you know, in these uncertain times now, and in those uncertain times then, a growing number of people started to take precautions and make sometimes radical decisions in order to increase their chances of survival in the event of some catastrophic circumstance that could render the populace otherwise helpless. We saw some of them cropping up way in the lead up to Y2K, but, you know, I think the trend in 2012 and beyond was becoming more mainstream. You know, churches have been urging their parishioners to have adequate rations of bottled water and canned goods. As I mentioned, the CDC has been ramping up their efforts to reach a new demographic in preparing for disaster. Meetup groups and Craigslist ads across the nation advertise the banding together of like-minded citizens in their respective communities to form disaster plans and share preparedness ideas. This increasing trend really shows no sign of stopping. As I said, it seems like it was really ramped up a couple of years ago, but it's still very much a thing. It's kind of launched the dawn of a new era. And these forward-thinking folks, of course, are called preppers. So, way back in the day, I wrote an article called Surviving the Apocalypse, an Extraordinary Guide. And the idea of the article was to encourage people to have a survival plan in the wake of some kind of calamity. And I broke that article into four main categories. Preparedness that everyone, you know, for everyone to be prepared. Part one was items for your bug out bag. Part two was learn a marketable skill. Part three was learn about herbal remedies. And part four was items to buy now that you'll be glad you have then. You know, most of the material in that article still stands as useful. So if you want to just do a Google search or a search on my site for Surviving the Apocalypse, an Extraordinary Guide, it contains a library of books you can purchase on topics ranging from how to thrive in a hostile post-disaster urban environment to how to successfully build a complete survival garden. I'd recommend that everyone take a moment to check out that post and even bookmark it for future reference. Because there's many ways that a society could collapse. Some of the most pressing concerns right now involve an economic collapse, wherein our economy goes belly up and those without means are forced to fend for themselves. I mentioned the EMP, which would be a weapon that could knock out our power grid, rendering all of our creature comforts useless and quickly sending us back to basics. Nuclear biological war could destroy much of our infrastructure and taint our resources. Or a natural disaster, of course, could come in the form of a megaquake or something similar to that. Each of these scenarios presents unique challenges, but the bottom line will be food, water, and even some survival skills. You know, it should go without saying, but making sure that you and your loved ones are on the same page is vital. Most disasters don't give us time to organize our affairs. The shift goes from lights on to lights out quite quickly, and it could be brief, if not instantaneous. So making sure that your family and friends have a cohesive strategy will save a lot of headache and heartache. And for the really ambitious family and groups, running a few drills wouldn't hurt. Everyone should know where their survival bag is. Every bag should be full and ready to rock, and everyone should know where they're going. If the disaster we face ends up being of a magnitude that wipes out a lot of civilization, survivors will need to tribe up in order to carry on. So those are some things to really consider, you know. Aside from obvious things like, you know, disinfectant and bandages, what happens if someone gets sick and requires antibiotics or of the prescription variety? I recently learned that you can obtain perfectly sound penicillin from veterinary medical supply stores without doctor's approval. Now, this is just what I learned. You probably want to do some research on your own, but penicillin is used on animals is exactly the same as that which is consumed by humans. You'll just need to adjust the dosage. Vet penicillin is commonly sold under names like Cambiotic, Penaqueous, Penicillin G Procaine Aqueous Suspension. Read the label, adjust the dosage for your weight, but if you want to, you know, order a little bit to just have on hand in case you get sick, that's another way to be prepared. So any steps that you can take to further your chances of survival in the wake of a disaster are to be commended, and it is not something that you should feel guilty about as a Christian. In the not too distant past, people who were into survival skills were scoffed at, but not so anymore. There's just growing sense of something looming around the corner worthy of being prepared for. And we know, according to Scripture, that troubling times are coming. Thus, with the rise of the preppers, are you prepared? It's worthy of thinking about, I would say. Don't let anyone make fun of you for taking into consideration that something might happen, because ultimately you might be the one that they have to come to in that scenario. And that brings up my final point. Another really good reason to be prepared in case of a disaster is not just for yourself, but for the people around you. You know, it could actually end up being an amazing witnessing opportunity if you and your Christian family have enough supplies to go around for people in your immediate area to help sustain not just yourselves, but others. And, you know, what a great opportunity. Or even if it's just your Christian brothers and sisters who are aware that you have all of these supplies and they are aware of how to get to you. Remember, it is part of Christian charity to supply to the needs of others. So with that in mind, I would just sum up by saying this. None of this is to strike fear into your hearts. In fact, I think it's really a comfort to know that you're at least a little bit ready for an emergency. You know, there's no shame in being ready. In Proverbs 27:12, it says, "A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences." So let's be prepared on any, you know, whatever level it is that you are able, whether you have tons of resources and you can create a bunker for yourself, or whether you are small potatoes living in a small apartment in the middle of a big city, there's every single one of us can do a little bit of something just in case, you know. Just in case. So thank you so much, you guys, for listening to this first episode. And I hope that you all are safe. And I hope that you all take time to just squeeze the people that you love. Tell them you love them. And none of us are promised tomorrow, of course. So make sure that you are living today, living for the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ, make today the day. I love you all. And until next time, this is Natalina. Goodbye.